T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Oh, Maggie, I'm so excited. Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. You know, there are many, many perks to working on the Dan Patrick Show for so many years, because Dan can pick cool people to have as friends. You know, Adam Sandler.
He's got good taste.
Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell, all sorts of coaches and athletes. And I remember about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, maybe even longer, Dan came back from a weekend. He's like, I just hung out with Rex Chapman, and he is the coolest. And then we had Rex on the show several times, and I got to know Rex Chapman's story and how interesting he was and how smart he was before, I think, then the rest of the nation kind of found out through social media and other things. And now Rex has a book called It's Hard for Me to Live with Me, a memoir by Rex Chapman with our good buddy, both of our friends, yep, Seth Davis. And it's so exciting to have Rex Chapman on the show right now. Rex, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys. How's everything?
Good, good. So Seth sent me a note last week before the book was coming out. He's like, Rex doesn't think people are going to be into this necessarily. He was a little worried. And then LeBron shows up on social media. How did that, with the book in his hand, how did LeBron get involved with the book?
I'm not quite sure. You know, he's always been very friendly when I've seen him. And I've bumped into him 2 or 3, 4 weeks ago in Phoenix at a ball game. We chatted for a minute. Next thing I know, the book came out and he'd found a copy and had posted it on Twitter, which is pretty damn cool.
Rex, you know, it's great to meet you, and thank you. Congratulations on the book. You know, on the outside, it seems like you're a man who's lived like 100 lives, you know, from basketball prodigy to NBA star to recovering addict to a social media star, broadcaster. You work with the Phoenix Suns. I mean, of all these things, what's the most improbable, you know, of all the lives you've lived? Which one do you look back and you go, wow, I can't believe it.
Probably drug addict, drug addict, shoplifter. That every time I start talking about this book, you know, there's several things that are pretty poignant. And, I still can't believe it was me. But it was definitely me. So that's something that I have to grapple with. And, you know, recovery is a long process and it's never really over. So once I got out of rehab the last time, I really had to buckle down and figure out why I was doing the things that I was doing and why I was the way I was.
What did you find?
Someone that didn't know themselves very well. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, a basketball player, and I think that's all I was for my first 32 years on earth. And then I spent 14 or 15 years on painkillers. So, you know, it wasn't till my mid to late 40s that I really developed any sort of coping skills other than painkillers and gambling. So I really had to, and of course it's easier to gamble when you don't have any money. So that was that was taken care of pretty quickly. But yeah, it's been a process.
We're talking to Rex Chapman, whose new book, It's Hard for Me to Live with Me, is out. You know, it's interesting, Rex, in the early part of the book, and you are a superstar in Kentucky where basketball is king, and you're getting asked for autographs in the mall when you're in 10th grade. Part of me, who was a bench warmer, said, is it really that hard to live life when you're a superstar basketball player? I'll admit that thought crossed my mind. And I think other people are wondering, you know, you were an incredible player in the NBA as well. So what would you say to someone who said, well, I mean, you had life handed to you on a silver platter because you were so athletically gifted, but still you could see that you were not really happy as a person.
Yeah. It's kind of be careful what you wish for. You know, I started playing basketball because I liked it. It was something to do. You know, we didn't have video games growing up. There was nothing else to do in Kentucky. You played football, basketball, baseball, whatever season it was, that's what you did. But I was good at basketball, better than most of the kids my age, and better than kids 2 and 3, 4 grades ahead of me a lot of times. And that's really all I had interest in. I didn't care about school. I didn't care about, you know, many things that I should have, and therefore grew up very one-dimensional.
Rex Chapman joining us. It's Hard for Me to Live with Me is the memoir, but you've done so much. I thought the relationship with your dad was pretty fascinating, Rex. At times, it kind of reminded me a tiny bit of the Griffies, just because your dad was a coach, but you said he was busy, a basketball coach, obviously, but he was busy with so many other things. He didn't get to a lot of your games when you were younger. That's a famous Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr. Sr. never got to watch Junior play in high school because he was busy being a professional baseball player himself. You know, the advice you have out there for sports dads, for people who are want to get the best out of their kids, but also want to have a healthy relationship, what would that be?
Ooh, I'm not sure I know the answer to that. my dad wasn't hard on me. He didn't tell me when to go play or what. I just liked it like that, and I was obsessed with it that way. So he didn't have to worry about me working at things. His biggest thing for me was he would come and watch me play. And most nights that I played, his teams had a game, his college team, so he didn't get to see a lot of those games. When he did come, there was a common theme when I would get done was that I didn't play hard enough. And these are games where I've got 30 and 35 points, and I think I'm playing really hard, but I'm a kid. And the difference was I knew that he wasn't judging me based on what he was looking at right there in the moment. He was trying to prepare me for college and the NBA, and knew that if he didn't, I probably wouldn't get that instruction. So, it was volatile at times with my dad, just because he expected a lot. But also, he knew I was talented, and he didn't want me to, you know, just kind of slip through the cracks because I wasn't tough enough.
We're talking to Rex Chapman. Another interesting part of the book was the racial dynamics in Kentucky. When you were a star, you were sort of put on this pedestal as a great white hope. Have things changed in the basketball world since you were playing, you know, in the 80s and 90s? Are things different? It seemed like you were encouraged by the University of Kentucky not to date a black woman. Are we done with all that, or do you still see remnants of that in the college basketball and pro basketball world?
Are we done with it? Where?
Done with it. I mean, I read the story. It was amazing. Yeah. Are white players and black players treated differently coming up through the system?
Ooh, I don't know about that. I do know that I was discouraged from, you know, dating outside of my race while I was in school. It was by the coach. My coach, and this is well documented, Eddie Sutton, was a great basketball coach, Hall of Famer. I love his family to death. Eddie had an alcohol problem when I was in school. He was 49 years old, and he was getting pressured from, I don't know exactly who, higher-ups, boosters, to let me know that it wasn't okay for me to be seen with my girlfriend, who I'd had since high school in our hometown. We also went to college together. That it wasn't okay to see her in public. So we were encouraged to hide and do things behind closed doors or at night. And I didn't understand. I felt like it was, I was being told something morally wrong, and I didn't have any outlet. I didn't have anybody I could go to say anything. I had teammates that knew this, you know, this was an open secret kind of, but the real struggle for me was that my black teammates were dating white girls, and they were not being discouraged. So I felt singled out, and I felt extremely sad and angry for my girlfriend Shawn Higgs, who's we're still very good friends. Yeah, it hurt my feelings, but what are they saying to her? They didn't even meet her. So it was just hard to at a young age, 18, 19 years old, I was doing everything I could do for the university and doing it well basketball wise and didn't have a problem with any of that. It was just the off the court demands and pressures that I was uncomfortable with.
I thought it was funny too, Rex. You said you were compared to Kyle Macy at Kentucky when you modeled your game after Daryl Griffith. That some of that stuff seems ridiculous now.
I know. I know. I didn't understand why I was being compared to Kyle Macy. And there was another guy named Jim Master that played at Kentucky, around a little older than I am. But our games were never, my game was nothing like Kyle Macy's game or Jim Master's game. But I was constantly compared to those guys, and it had to be because they were 6'4" and white.
Yeah, I mean, you could fly. I was telling Maggie before the show about, I heard the story on the Dan Patrick show, the night you took Michael Jordan down. That's how I tell this story. How
Like Rex,
many?
I'm surprised you didn't end up as a chapter in The Last Dance.
Yeah, how many did you score against Jordan? It was a high number, I recall.
Which time, Rich? We beat them one year, the year they went 72-10. We sneaked up and beat them. I had 39 and we won going away, and we played them a couple weeks later, and right at the jump ball, Michael elbowed me in the sternum. It was like, oh, it's going to be like this tonight. And it was. He got like 40 and three quarters and didn't play the fourth quarter.
Rex Chapman is joining us. Rex mentioned you lived a lot of lives, and obviously one of them was Kentucky legend. And now we see Kentucky, if we can bring it to present day for a moment. We talked a lot about the book today, semifinal SEC tournament, 7 o'clock Eastern time. It's your Wildcats against Texas A&M. You know, can you give us a little pulse of the fan base for the Kentucky Wildcats fan base? Because it's now been since what, 2011, 2012 season since they last won the title. Where's the fan base right now on Kentucky men's basketball?
Right on the bandwagon, baby. It's that time of year. This team is really exciting. They're really good. So much fun. I don't want this season to end. Such great personalities on the team. And I won't go into too much specifics, but Jeff Shepard's like my little brother. Came to Kentucky after I came to Kentucky. I was in the NBA the whole time he was at Kentucky. Was a great player. This is Reed Shepard's dad. I also know Reed Shepard's mom, Stacy, who I knew probably before Jeff Shepard. She was a point guard, steals leader, SEC, all SEC assists leader. She was a point guard. Jeff was a crazy athlete, bouncy, athletic, could run and jump. And Reed has the best of both worlds. He's just a fantastic player. Guys love to play with him. I would not want to face the Kentucky Wildcats in this tournament.
I'm sorry, I said semifinal, quarterfinal tonight against
Ah,
Texas
okay.
A&M.
There you
Apologies for
go.
that. Yes.
Rex Chapman, it's hard for me to live with me. What do you want people to get from this who are struggling with addiction, whether it's gambling addiction, whether it's drug addiction, whether it's alcoholism? What advice would you give to, especially to young people with issues like that?
Pride for me was a big was a is a big thing, just dropping my pride a little bit so you can show some humility for where you are in life. The main thing I would take away from it is just talk to somebody. Find somebody you can trust, somebody that cares about you, that doesn't care if you break down and cry in front of them, no matter who it is. Find somebody you can trust, and if you can afford it, go to therapy. Therapy's really saved my life.
Rex, last one before you go, just a quick basketball one with your work with the Phoenix Suns. You know, you've become a very prolific social media presence. That's, you know, been a really another one of your lives that you've lived is one online. And it's been really fun to watch you. The blocker charge bit is like an all-time great social media thing. Kevin Durant also has had his dabbles with social media. You know, when you talk to Durant, do you find you guys are kindred spirits a little bit in that way? Or what's the something you've learned about Durant that maybe the public wouldn't know?
Oh man. Kevin Durant's one of my favorite people on the planet. That's so good. I mean, a top 10 player all time. It's just a privilege to get to watch that guy every single night. We don't talk about social media, but I would say we're kindred spirits basketball wise in that anybody that ever comes up to Kevin Durant. In fact, this was a couple months ago. I was at a team function, and there were sponsors and fans and players there and whatnot. And Kevin and I were over in the corner talking, and Tom Chambers came up with his wife, and I guess Tom hadn't talked to Kevin in a while, and his wife had never met Kevin. And Tom came up apologizing, like, "Hey, Kevin, Rex, sorry, I just want to." And Kevin said, "Don't apologize, man." He said, I like talking basketball. I want to talk basketball. That's what Kevin does." And from in that standpoint, we're kindred spirits, in that Kevin's all basketball all the time.
Does he get offended by the bus rider stuff? Can you tell that kind of characterization from Charles Barkley really hurts him?
I don't know what the bus rider thing is. What is it? Oh,
Barkley,
instead of driving the
yes.
bus?
Yes, that
No, honestly, and Charles is one of my great buddies from 35 years. I don't think Kevin listens to anything Charles says.
Oh, Rex, do you miss talking to Seth Davis all the time? We love Seth. I mean, that must have been a fun experience.
I do not miss talking to Seth about this stuff.
Oh, it was hard.
I miss talking to Seth, but yeah, the book stuff was really hard. 4 years of just, oh man, it was tough to get through, and he did all the heavy lifting. I'm barely literate.
Well, now we get to yell at him on TV during the tournament. That's one of my
That's right.
favorite. Yeah, we could just Rex, good luck with the book. It's already doing great. It's hard for
Thanks.
me to live with me. I can't put it down. Love it. And yeah, I hope to talk to you soon, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Rex, thank you, and good luck to your Wildcats as well. Again, quarterfinal tonight, Texas A&M. It is a very good book. I mean,
Oh, yeah.
again, I say Rex lives all these lives. It's high school prodigy, it's college star, it's NBA star, it's fall from grace with addiction issues, and then it's the comeback and what he's doing now. It's amazing.
I am at the part where he is getting recruited, and it is a who's who. This was the 80s when they were caught. He goes to Louisville, and Purvis Ellison, the core of the national title team, is taking him out. Then he goes to Kentucky with Kenny Skywalker is taking him out. So there's also a ton of great basketball in this book. People forget, not everyone remembers he was unbelievable at Kentucky, superstar. So there's a lot of basketball, a lot of addiction. I love your question, right? The guy's had now seven lives. I feel like he's such an interesting guy. He'll probably have three more.
I know for sure. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up, very interesting. Who did the Cowboys pass on in free agency? We get a little more detail on that next. Don't move. It's Maggie and Perloff.
That was a lot of fun talking to Rex Chapman here, Maggie and Perloff show. Rex was, now I have to check this. He was in the slam dunk contest, right? I believe. Can we double check that? He was really, really good in the pros, but man, in college, I remember as a kid, like, oh, wow, this guy is so different in Kentucky. He just came up. In the book, it said he was one, two, or three recruited in his class. Yeah, there's a lot of things in that book that are really cool. And I think what he's done lately is amazing. So definitely buy his book because I loved it.
Rex Chapman, by the way, 1990 and 1991 dunk contest. He was
Oh, there you go.
So if you ever miss any part of the show
Yeah.
and you're listening to us on the absolutely free to download and crystal clear Odyssey app, you can just rewind the show if you ever want to catch something that you just missed. It's up for 24 hours. Also, we'll be posting the video to YouTube. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio is where you can find all the Maggie and Perloff stuff for you. Let's get to our Cowboy Quickie for today. We got a little more clarity on just some of the people that the Cowboys have passed on in this free agent.
You mean everybody in the NFL?
Yeah, so we called everyone in the NFL. No, Derrick Henry was introduced in Baltimore. Says the Dallas Cowboys did not call him, did not make contact. We all thought this would be an easy slam dunk. Hey, the Cowboys should definitely be involved. He says absolutely not. Then Stephen Jones was at an event yesterday out in Dallas somewhere. and he was asked about the lack of moves in free agency.
I mean, that's everybody certainly has that right. I mean, we've, you know, I know where the frustration is, the fact that we haven't had success in the playoffs to their satisfaction. Until we do that, then, you know, the criticism is certainly something that's going to be there. And we know that's going to be there, but we're going to stick with what we believe will ultimately get us a championship here for our fans. But, you know, we don't define all in as what you spend in free agency.
And there you have it. We don't define all in by what you do in free agency.
So how
begs
do you
the question, how do you define all in? And I think it's a little of what Michael Lombardi told us at the Super Bowl, which was the former GM Michael Lombardi, who said he thinks all in was just re-signing your own guys. And I think if that's what the all in meant to the Joneses, then they should have used a different term. Because just re-signing your own guys, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, sending Dexter Lawrence, finding a contract extension for Dak Prescott, that is given for fans. You hit on these draft picks, of course you're going to give them extensions. That doesn't define all in, that defines business as usual.
No, see, that's ridiculous. That's not an excuse, because everyone, all in, what's the all in team of the recent memory?
The Rams?
The Rams. They gave up all their draft picks for Matthew Stafford and Jalen Ramsey. That's all in. Right. There's no other definition of all in. All in is not re-signing your guys. That's in, or I don't know what that is.
I think that's business as usual. That's
business. Exactly.
Is re-signing CeeDee Lamb. Of course it is. Micah Parsons, obviously. These are guys who are going to be part of your core for a long time.
That being said, you can't kill them for not signing Derrick Henry, who's a 30-year-old running back. Smart teams probably don't want to pay up. Although Derrick Henry didn't cost a lot, you don't want to pay up for an older running back. So they have been doing smart things as well. That's the irony of this great Cowboys experiment. They're this conservative... You know, they go interior line a lot. They do some really smart things, and they have a lot of good players.
Yet again, more Cowboys hype with nothing to show for it. That's your Cowboy Quick. We should also mention just quickly, I know Bogish, you mentioned it in your update, a complaint filed on Wednesday against Dak Prescott for a 2017 alleged sexual assault. Back of an SUV was some... allegedly bad things happening. Now Prescott claims that he's being extorted for $100 million, and now police are investigating both the accusation about the 2017 incident and also investigating a potential extortion. So suffice it to say, really messy issue.
Yeah,
one that is not going to be resolved for quite some time, but we are obviously not ignoring this situation, because no matter who it is, but the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys being potentially involved in a sexual assault allegations is pretty alarming.
Yeah, I mean, also, and you mentioned the contract, we came into this offseason almost certain that they were going to have an extension and make him one of the richest quarterbacks in NFL history. I think it's a real question. Does what's happening with the police slow that down?
Stephen Jones said yesterday it will not.
Yeah, but still, we haven't seen a contract, and we haven't even really heard of them talking in any significant way. So there's all these football questions, too. Do you really want to sign Dak Prescott for 4 more years? We have a lot of people calling, Cowboys fans, who do not want 4 more years of Dak.
Right, just obviously simply with the football stuff. Quick update to
that. They want 4 more years of Rodgers, by the way. But
right.
He's running for vice president.
Yeah, of course, yeah, the campaign trail. Yesterday, Stephen Jones also said they actually had talked to Dak.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, nope, that's okay. It just came out. They had talked to Dak personal. They've had a personal conversation with him. But again, we're no closer to an extension.
Yeah.
And that's the first we'd heard of it. So... you know, listen, it's a situation where Dak Prescott's claiming everything was consensual. She's saying it's not. These things are, I mean, just, this one is going to hang around for a while, and we have no idea how this is going to go.
Yeah, I think obviously we want to wait to find out more from the police investigation and people reporting on this. We deal with these stories a lot. Patience is obviously you have to be patient, because it sounds like the police are just jumping into this full force. We'll find out a lot in the coming weeks.
Edge Bogus is here with headlines. Hello.
Hello again, guys. So the Bears trade for Keenan Allen, the Seahawks trade for Sam Howell, the Lions ink former Bengals D-tackle DJ Reader, but the move of the day in football was John Gruden heading to Italy. The former coach and TV star will be an advisor to the Milano Seamen.
He's not even the head coach?
Nope, just helping the Seamen, who play in the European League of Football. Their season starts in May. Get your tickets now. This is not exactly where we thought Gruden would end up. A few people expected him maybe to become the Saints offensive coordinator. He advised that team last year. Then they fired Pete Carmichael Jr. Some thought Gruden would then slip into that role. That didn't happen. So plan B is the Milano season in Italy.
This is when they're telling you without telling you. You know, you're not welcome back yet, John. You know, this is the league has spoken. College football has spoken. What we saw and read about in the emails was reprehensible, and you're not welcome back. You are banished to the European Football League still.
And there are still legal battles, right? So, I mean, how...
And he's winning a lot of those, allegedly, against the league, some of the early procedural stuff.
Yeah, so, like, you'd think that it would not be possible for anyone to give him a real job while he's suing the
Brian
people that
Flores
he works for.
Is suing the league, and he's a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I guess. But, yeah, this is... If Italy is your only other option, it's probably time to give up the NFL dream.
This has worked for other guys, though. Petito went overseas and came back.
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown did it.
Well, he hasn't come back yet, but he just went there. But he wasn't dealing with this kind of scandal.
Yeah. Right. But it is a good place to hide. I wonder, will there be an exhibition between the Seamen and the Seahawks? That would be good.
Yeah, dad joke.
Yeah, thank you.
I have a question.
By the way, with that name, the Milano team, we could have got a lot of jokes. Yeah. So we're very clear.
You know, it's funny. We're not going to take the low-hanging fruit with that one.
A lot of golf elbow on that team.
But when, if you tell Perloff that he's been gripping something tightly and he hasn't picked up a golf club in 20 years, that one we will take. What do you think the quality of football is like in
Italy? Not good, Maggie. Thanks for asking. I'm assuming it's not great.
Do you think it looks like a high-level high school team? Like a Don Bosco, either the one in California or the one in New Jersey.
The thing I'm thinking is, would they perform better against IMG Academy than Bishop Sycamore?
Bishop Sycamore.
And I think they probably would. Because they're, I guess, adults.
They're adults, yeah.
But there were adults on Bishop Sycamore, too.
Yeah, good point.
So they share helmets, though, on Bishop Sycamore. That was...
Yeah.
Do we know what surface they play on in the European League of Football since we've had ice recently?
Yeah, they play concrete. On tomato sauce.
I'm looking at their depth chart. They do have Nicholas Dalamasso at quarterback.
That changes everything. You know, he can sling it.
They got him?
Yeah. Lorenzo Bassi is their leading wide receiver. They're really Italian people on this team. They're not overseas players.
I tell you, you know what's going to happen. This is the future and fate once he's done playing the NFL. Tommy DeVito.
Oh, there you go.
He's the commissioner.
Yeah. I bet he'd make a little bit of money over there, too. Not like here, but.
For sure.
Now, let's go deep down this rabbit hole here. These seem to be some lingering initial, like the Rhine Fire are in this league.
Oh, still?
And the Frankfurt Galaxy.
But Germany knows football, the American
right,
football.
But those are all European,
original.
Like, what was that league called?
NFL Europe.
NFL Europe.
But those I don't think it's the same team.
Didn't Kurt Warner play for the Rhine team?
A lot of guys were over there. Yeah, he was definitely over there.
So I don't think this league is that. I don't think the Munich Ravens are like the AA affiliate of the Baltimore Ravens.
But actually, I bet a lot of young German people probably play pretty good football, I would imagine. Because, Germany had all these U.S. bases over there, so football got wildly popular. That's why they put all the teams in Rhine and places like that.
Our friend Andrew Brandt was the general manager of the Barcelona Dragons or whatever.
Andrew Brandt was a GM of the... I had no idea.
Barcelona Dragons still exists. My buddy Spiro did these games. It was one of his first major jobs at a school.
Spiro Ditas?
Yeah.
Wow, a super name drop there.
Hamburg Sea Devils.
My good friend
Devils.
Spiro Ditas.
Well, you had Andrew Brandt.
But you did first name basis. That's why I was like,
Spiro. So that was my mistake.
I was like, are there two Spiros? Are you talking about Spiro Ditas, who we all know?
I fixed that mistake.
My friend Spiro.
Meanwhile, Ian Eagle joining us in about an hour. Well, now that we're talking about Syracuse grads.
It's either Spiro Ditas or Spiro Agnew. And I don't think you were friends with Spiro Agnew. So
we had a falling out. That guy. Speaking of vice presidents.
You know what? I'm taking all of my snark back. Good for John Gruden. He'll be an NFL head coach within 18 months.
Yeah, no, he's coming back.
Yeah, you fix the Milano Seamen this league and they win. They take out the Helvetic Guards.
Right.
Look out.
Let's go Seamen.
Yeah. I mean, he could definitely get back into college football. That college football, it is easy to get back into.
He was trying, and there was rumors that I was trying to remember the team, but I couldn't. But
I remember that too. He
interviewed. There was rumors that somebody may hire him as an OC, and then that didn't go through as well. I don't know why I feel like the team wore red. It wasn't Nebraska, but It was one of those teams, and it didn't happen. It was Indiana. Indiana had a big coaching change, and he went to Indiana, I believe. Mm-hmm. So the thought was like, hey, he may get, if not head coaching job, maybe an OC job, and he couldn't even get Indiana Hoosier ball. So here we are now with the Seamen.
Yeah.
This was the next best option.
Okay, here's a question, though. Say the Milano Seamen end up winning the title. Should the head coach of the team actually be the one who gets an NFL job, not John Gruden? What? An advisor role? Bring over the head coach.
Well,
guy.
Mag, you don't understand. He'd be the Jerry West of advisors for the Seamen.
Right, let's go Seamen.
I mean,
and judging by some of the final scores from last year, whoever's the coach of the Seamen, not doing a good job.
Already on the hot seat?
This is from last year. They were getting hammered last year, left and right. So if they win this year, it's because of Gruden.
No, you know what? Gruden's over there is the vulture. That's the guy, the famous assistant who comes in and just waiting around.
He's Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
The vulture.
He's Doc Rivers.
He's how do you know he's
not Tom Brady, who saw the potential in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster? Maybe Gruden sees something in the young Milano players that he thinks is untapped potential.
I don't know.
Or he'll do what he did with the actual Bucs, which is take a team. I know that
Tony Dungy.
He'll do a Tony Dungy. As soon as they get good, he'll be like, all right, now I'm the head coach.
And then that wasn't his fault.
I mean,
that's the Bucs' fault. That was not John Gruden's fault that he's handed a Super Bowl team.
The Stuttgart Surge beat them 78-27 late last year.
That was close.
I don't know what promise you're seeing in that.
Why did they get a defensive coordinator guy? 72 points. It's 28 points. He can win games with that.
They've got an offense. They don't need Gruden.
Stuttgart has no idea how to cover Y2 Banana.
or just a simple out route, turns out. So, or any other play.
I remember during the coaching cycle, there's a defensive coordinator or a defensive line coach, I believe, with the Seahawks that looks a lot like a guy who works here in our digital department, Anthony Gallo.
Yes, there was.
Do you think that any of us could be a head coach of European level football?
I can.
I think I could do it.
Probably helps that I speak Dutch.
The language barrier. Yeah. You just, you know.
Can I ever run drills?
Not for me.
Do you think Ryan Gosling would be a good defensive back in this league?
Honestly, they could use Ryan Gosling to get 72 points.
Use Coach Boone.
Listen, you could let up 72 points. They might as well have hired Sean Payton.
You know, John Gruden's play calls are famously insane. They're gigantically long and complicated. I don't know how.
Can he do that in Italian?
I don't know if John Gruden knows how to coach. Have you ever seen John Gruden turn it off? It doesn't exist. He's going to screw up with that team. They're going to have no idea what he's talking about.
They'll learn plays and the English language as well.
I know. He's probably waking up at 3 a.m. to watch film of the Helvetica. Yeah. Helvetica.
They should go all in. Go hire Belichick.
He's looking at a guy, Luigi. Belichick. He's like, I love this guy, Luigi. Luigi.
How soon until his first inappropriate Italian accent?
It's already happened. That's right. It probably happened in the interview, and they're like, we'll overwork we'll on it.
There's already bad emails that they're acid washing right now.
Probably just doesn't have an email. Like, John, you have no access to the computer.
Just give us a call.
Here's his walkie-talkie. Yeah. This is how you will communicate with anybody within the facility.
Here's a tin can with a string attached to another tin can. Do all your communicating through that.
Okay. You guys rightfully criticizing John Gruden, but his quarterback interview show is the best ever.
Bring him into the trailer.
He'd bring the rookies in there and be like, all right, you can do this against Arkansas, but what happens when TJ Watt's coming around the edge? And then he'd end every episode, you're going to be a great NFL player. John Gruden, everyone on that show was a future Hall of Famer. And he brings that energy to Italy. This is going to work, people. He is back. He's coming back.
It'd just be funny if he's criticizing these quarterbacks in English and they're just like, no, I don't understand. No comprend. I don't know what, I don't understand Italian. But something close to no comprendo.
Who is this man? Yeah.
Do you think they know Chucky? Do you think that players, these young players?
Bet it's the universal thing.
You think so?
Yeah.
What?
Like, I think they've probably seen the memes.
They know Chucky?
In Italy, they know soccer. They have no idea what Chucky is.
You don't
even those players have no idea.
You don't think that movie got over there? It definitely did.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No, but they don't know John Gruden is Chucky.
I'm saying, do they know
oh,
Chucky?
Oh, do they know the movie Chucky? Yeah, sorry.
I think they do.
Those young players.
I think horror movies, anything that's universal, good guy, bad guy, those smash at international sales.
Well, that's actually a great question. EJ, you're young. Does Chucky translate? Do you know Freddy Krueger and all this stuff, old school stuff?
Yeah. I think Maggie made a great point that I actually didn't think about. I think horror translates maybe better than any other genre in terms of like everybody knowing all
comic
the
books.
Yeah.
Well, even that's a little tricky. But yeah, I mean, Batman's from the 40s or whatever. So yeah.
But old people don't know that clown in It. I think, what's
old
his name?
Old people.
Yeah. Like,
I don't
yeah.
know the name of him, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, that,
it,
he's like the
Pennywise?
Yeah. Pennywise. Yeah, yeah. I don't think, I think that really we think of Freddy. Who's the bad guy? Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, Jason.
Jason.
Yeah.
That, those are 45 years
Michael
ago.
Michael Myers, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I mean, that's an impactful movie. I don't know how we got here.
I also think they're actively making Chucky shows.
It's a show. It's a show, there was, right? And maybe still is, a show that was on USA Today. USA, rather. I only know because I watched Raw and it would come on after and they had all these commercials for it.
A show about Chucky? Is a rom-com? What kind of show is it?
It's like a series.
Yeah. Chucky
like,
married Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah. Said, hey, we're gonna
he took over Charmed.
Like the same network that Suits had a Chucky show?
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, is there character development? How is it a TV show? It's a movie.
Out of ideas.
A Chucky TV show?
It's like the Curious George books. Chucky goes to work.
Is Chucky evolved into a non-killing machine?
No, it's the man with the yellow hat, and then he decapitates the man with the yellow hat.
He's definitely still killing people.
I've never heard of a horror episodic TV show.
American Horror Story?
Well, yeah, but that was different characters every show. I mean, like Chucky is like, you got to have...
Walking Dead?
Whatever. Anyway,
I'm telling you, we're out of ideas.
I like when Perlov just checks out.
Walking
he
Dead,
it. You Chucky and Walking goes, Never Dead. Mind.
Well, yeah, yeah.
He turns his mic off. He's like, whatever.
Goosebumps.
I'm just saying, is Chucky going to be? Is it going to be Cheers, where he's going to go to a bar after work every day, and everyone knows him? What did you do today, Chucky? Tough day at the office. Had killed three people.
You think about the new Muppets show that happened? That was like that, where the Muppets were like famous, and like you know, Kermit got a divorce from Miss Piggy.
It was like ABC. Right. How do you do the story arc on Chucky? I mean, yeah, it's kind of one note.
I'm obsessed with this show now. We got to find out.
He's like a Cliff or Norm on Cheers. Yeah. He sits at the end of the bar and has a weird drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was Chucky's? It's had three seasons, by the way.
Oh, my God.
No way. The Chucky show?
Yeah. Jennifer Tilly's in it.
She plays the female Chucky. It's his wife from the movies. I know that.
Talk about someone that needs a check. Oh, I like her, but I mean, come on, find some better parts.
Oh, Pete.
Really?
I mean, book 12.
Since Liar Liar, that was it.
Pete's 12th book, get a life and a better agent.
Find better roles.
Get a better job.
Doing it for the paycheck, the Pete Pilates story.
I mean, come on. Why are you doing that? I mean, really?
Pete next is after Robert De Niro.
This is crazy. The story stars mostly teenagers. It's a coming-of-age story that tackles themes of bullying, domestic life, murder, and the main character is a kid who's inspired by the doll. Oh, my God. I'm totally checking this out.
Gosh.
Wow.
Make some chili with the kids.
And I'm sorry, we're flat out of time for any more headlines.
Oh, fine.
Just everything you were thinking of, just hold on to it for a second.
Was that segment an ad for the Chucky show on USA Network?
We better get some kind of kickback from that. Meanwhile, Bogus, thank you. Bang up job.
Yeah, my best one yet.
Coming up. Oh, man, we've got some news about college football. We'll get to that next. Maggie Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, CBS Sports Radio. So some college football news, and I just want to distill it down into one salient point here, which is there's a deadline about not the 12-team format, Perloff, but the 14-team eventual college football playoff, which is coming right around the corner. And essentially what you have to know is that the Big Ten and the SEC are taking so much more money than the ACC, the Big 12, the Group of Five, and Notre Dame's got its own thing, that while they're not splitting off yet, it is just a solidification, if you will, that the Big Ten and the SEC have the power in college football right now, and it is, I wouldn't say unchecked, but basically. So whatever they want to do right now, it's their world, and everyone else has to get on board. Less payout, all of that. You have to say yes. And whatever the format ends up being, you know, for how they're going to get teams into the 14-team playoff, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to decide that as well. So the reason why I think this is important and interesting is because the SEC, the Big Ten have all the power. That's not going away. And we seem to be inching closer and closer to just the two of them becoming the de facto AFC and NFC in college football. This is just another example of that.
God, it's funny. I read it a little bit differently. Okay. I thought it, the other conferences saved the multi-conference structure of college football with this deal.
Really? How?
Because if they didn't give them this sweetheart deal with all the money, then they're gone.
Yeah, but they're getting so much less. They're not being looked at as equal partners at all.
Yeah, I know. But if they didn't do this deal, if they had demanded to be equal partners, then Big Ten and SEC were gone. And then we actually would have that. But now the way I read this deal is, hey, we all reached an agreement. We're going to keep the different conferences around. It's just going to give a huge advantage to Big Ten and SEC. So I think this is a desperate move of survival that I think is going to work. I think all the conferences are going to survive now just because of this deal. Otherwise, if they had said, hey, equal or nothing, then SEC and Big Ten be like, yeah, nothing, let's go. So I think in a way, this was a lifeline, and I think it worked. I have a feeling, and I don't know why, that in 10 years, you're going to still have this structure, which sounds ridiculous because nothing stays the same in college football in 10 years. I think they saved the Big Ten and SEC from breaking off with this deal.
I just see it the other way, but even if they did, it would only be for whatever the next TV rights deal is. And even that, I would imagine, would have language that says the SEC and Big Ten can change the terms of it maybe at any time. It's going that way. It's a matter of, I think, when we get there. And I think that the ACC and the Big 12 end up just for basically getting absorbed in. Whatever teams they want do end up getting absorbed into the Big Ten and the SEC, and then everyone else figures out the second tier.
You know, I think there's some advantages for the Big Ten and the SEC to have those other conferences around. Believe it or not, I just the way it's going to be set up with 14 teams, I do think the Big Ten and SEC will get all the buys that they want. I'm not sure it's something they want. They might want this current structure. It seems like they're pretty happy with all this money. It's a lot of money. The other thing, here's what I think the issue is going to be. The 14, the automatic buys, the structure.
Yep.
The Big Ten
and the SEC are going to determine what it is.
All of this, I still wonder, why don't they just do it like the NCAA tournament where they take the top 14 teams? All those rules are going to cause a lot of actual football chaos, which we had this year with Florida State being undefeated, and then they made a judgment call that they're not going to be competitive in the Final Four because their quarterback was injured. Why don't you just say, here's the top 14 schools? Why do they always have to add layers and layers of rules that make everything more difficult?
Well, I think that was the concession to the other conferences. Yeah. That was a lifeline to the Big 12 and the ACC, and that's going to last 2 years, I think. And then it's going to go away. They have not decided on the structure for 14, and I don't think you're getting now with, you know, the top two teams in each conference getting in. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh,
as far in terms of automatic qualifiers, I think the format changes for 2026. Are we talking about?
I thought a big part was that the Big Ten and the SEC were holding out for three automatic bids. I think they'll get that if they want it.
I think they're going to get whatever they want.
But even those three automatic bids, that'll probably cause a problem somewhere. Don't have any automatic bids. Just take 1 through 14. Why is this just because the Big Ten and SEC want it? I think the problem is going to be that there's probably going to be 9 SEC schools that qualify for 14. I just think that any structure here, college football, any kind of anything they do has unintended consequences. And who knows what's going to come out of this. And you do have a good point. things change fast. So in 3 years, it could be way different.
Well, that's why I read in this ESPN story that sources have said there's ironclad protections for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, ACC champions, and the highest-ranked Group of Five champion, along with a series of access protections for Notre Dame. I just... Maybe that's now with the 12. When we get to 14, I don't believe that it's going to be so ironclad for the ACC and for the Big 12. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're all breathing a sigh of relief that they even got this deal done, because you're totally right. The direction is those two major conferences, but this seems like a compromise that can keep the current system quasi in place.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Okay. Lots more to do. Man, I've got it. There's a story. Yes, EJ. There's a story that I've been wanting to get you guys, and now we're just out of time. We have to do this next hour because I've been talking about it all week. I've become a little obsessed with online scams or in-person scams. And there's been one I've been trying to talk to you guys about all week long. Can we do that next hour, please? Because this was a doozy of a scam.
Oh, boy. I'm a little nervous.
I couldn't believe it. This is not a Nigerian prince email scam. This one was sinister.
That's a scam?
Oh, no.
Oh, Pete. Oh. The 14th book. How to drain your bank account.
That's a scam.
1 hour. Forward written by me. Also, which teams are drafting quarterbacks come April?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.